Welcome to our service for Passion Sunday. As Lent progresses towards Easter, we take the occasion this day to remember the cross of Christ with the great Passion Chorale, O Sacred Head, Sore Wounded. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you were sent to heal the contrite. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we boldly pray. In tad, hanaitan an evaith, sancte dia de enu, deled de nas gwnela de wyslis, megis en an ee vechli ala ddear hefyd. Dyr o'n i heddiw ein bala beinyddio, y maddau ni yn dyledion, fel y maddewn unna yn dyledwyr, ac nac arwan ni y brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, canes eith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Collect for Passion Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender mercy toward the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Napoleon Bonaparte's chief diplomat, effectively his foreign secretary most of the time, was Charles Maurice de Talleyrand-Périgord, whose name we usually abbreviate to Talleyrand. He was the ultimate Machiavellian politician, always scheming and conniving, often with his own hidden agenda, and always looking for the hidden agenda of others. They told him one day that the ambassador of one of the European powers had died. Talleyrand looked thoughtful. "I wonder what he meant by that," he said. It can be a bit the same when you read the Gospel of John. It's so carefully written and in so many layers that you find yourself asking questions that assume there's a hidden meaning in every line. Today, we're looking at the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. But just as we found in the story of the woman at the well 2 weeks ago, a simple central theme, in this case the raising of Lazarus from the dead, is set in a multi-layered narrative with a crowded cast of characters. They all say and do interesting things that set you thinking at tangents from the rest of the story. For example, you might have thought that the heart of today's story, the part you would never forget, would be the astonishing moment when Lazarus comes out of the tomb. But the moment that's come down to us most memorably are what used to be just two words, the shortest verse in our Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept, at least in part, because the man who died was dear to him, part of a family who were dear to him. And it's the contrasting actions and reactions of the two other members of that family, Mary and Martha, that I want to look at today. Jesus has been some distance away when he receives the news that Lazarus has died and eventually hurries back to Bethany. At the news of his approach, Martha goes to meet him, but Mary stays at home. We're used to these sisters being contrasted, of course. The most famous story about them is one where Jesus is teaching and Mary is sitting listening to him while Martha is busying herself about the preparation of the meal. She complains to Jesus about her sister, but he tells her that Mary has chosen the better part. In all three stories of the sisters, we see them in these poses or something like them. Martha upright doing, perhaps working or serving. Mary sitting, kneeling, and on this occasion, weeping. She will be kneeling again and perhaps weeping again when next we see her in the following chapter, when there is a meal at her home where the risen Lazarus is at table with Jesus. Martha is again busy serving the food, but Mary is kneeling at his feet, anointing them with costly ointment and wiping it away with her hair. In today's story, though, when Martha rushes out to meet Jesus, Mary stays at home, and we are not told why. May just have been her turn to mind the cooking pot. But the contrast between their reactions in movement terms is set against the fact that when they do each see Jesus, they both say exactly the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It may mean nothing. It may be just an ordinary Hebraic parallelism, the kind of repetition we often find in Hebrew writing, in the Psalms or in the Old Testament stories, for example. But this is John. I wonder what he meant by that. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. For Martha, the one who is always up and doing, the words mean, I think, Lord, if you'd been here, you could have done something. You could have stopped it happening. Even now, she says, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. You're here now, you can do something now. When Mary says the same words, the sense, I think, is, Lord, if you had been here, it would have been all right. It's always all right for Mary, wherever Jesus is. And if he'd been here, it would have been all right somehow. Unlike Martha, she doesn't ask Jesus to do anything or say that she expects anything from him. And there is no theological conversation between them. It's to Martha, not Mary, that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Behind the contrast between these sisters, there always lurks, I think, the controversy between justification by works and justification by faith. Controversy that we know troubled and animated the early church. Are you justified by works, put right with God by the things you do, by your service and your moral deeds, the keeping of God's law? Or are you put right with God by your faith, your trust in Jesus? If it's true that that controversy lurks behind the Martha and Mary stories, then without doubt it is Martha who represents justification by works, always wanting to do something, wanting to do the right thing. And so it's her that Jesus challenges, do you believe this? Do you have faith? Whereas it is Mary who, as usual, shows us a deep and unquestioning faith in Jesus. Just being still in his presence, sitting or kneeling at his feet. She's where Jesus is, and it will be all right. For good or ill, it is Mary who has held her place in our imaginations through the Christian centuries, even if most Christians, and especially most Christian women, respond to these stories with sympathy for Martha, the one who does all the work and gets all the criticism. But make no mistake, these women are both dear to Jesus, and they are both disciples. He is moved to grief by their grief. We usually say that Jesus wept at Lazarus's grave, but if you read the story carefully, you will see that he grieves at their grief, and especially at Mary's grief, before he ever comes to Lazarus's tomb. We've seen too much of grief in our churches in recent years. It's been true in nearly all of our fellowships that our sisters and brothers have experienced untimely bereavements, and it has often been hard to bear. This story tells us two things. First, that when we are weeping, Jesus is weeping with us. And second, as Mary's stillness teaches us, where Jesus is, it will be all right. Our faith, like Mary's, is that those we love but now have lost are still where Jesus is. And so are we, and it will be all right. Amen.
Holy God, before raising Lazarus, Jesus gave you thanks. Following his example, we now give you thanks for hearing our prayers of intercession. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus reminds us, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." And so we thank you for Jesus' presence here with us today, as we raise our hearts and voices in worship, praise and thanksgiving. We pray for all who lead our services, especially Matthew and Judith, for all the lay worshippers, for those who provide the music for our services, for readers, servers, and for those who clean and decorate our churches. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we continue to pray for those left to deal with the devastation in Turkey and Syria. Whilst this has begun to slide from the headlines, people continue to suffer. People mourn. People are struggling to rebuild their lives in the rubble. We also pray for an end to the war in Ukraine. We pray for those who stand and fight to defend their homes, land, and way of life. And we pray for those who have lost loved ones and for those who have died. Give wisdom to those who lead our nations of the world and for those in authority, that they may always work for peace and for the good of their people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, in his dealing with Mary, Martha and Lazarus, Jesus showed his love for those friends who had become like family to him. We thank you for our friends and families and for the richness and diversity that they bring to our lives. Help us to return that gift to them whenever we meet, and to keep in touch with those who we see less frequently. We also pray for those we struggle with, for those we avoid and cross the road so we don't have to connect with. Loving God, be with all of us, be in the challenges and the joys, and give us your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, we pray for all in our community who care for the sick and elderly in their homes, in hospitals, hospices, or in the many care and residential homes. Bring healing to those who are in constant pain, those on long waiting lists, and those waiting for the results of investigations. Be with those who are in mental anguish and cannot see a way forward, and those who feel they have nowhere to turn for help. Strengthen all families who are living under stress, and shine your love into homes where no human love is found. In a moment of quiet, we bring to your loving care those who are in any kind of need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, the death of a friend or loved one is one of life's most difficult situations to cope with. Help us through Jesus' example to recognise that our tears are natural and bring healing. Help us also to see that through his sacrifice that first Good Friday, death is no longer such a final thing, and that we shall meet again in God's good time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, we thank you for having heard us and confident that all is safely in your hands. We go out into the world surrounded by your love and care in all that we do in the coming week. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lenten blessing. Christ crucified, draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen.